Somebody bought me something just recently, and it promised me to make me new. You ever see the commercials and the adverts, and they say, if you buy this cream, it will make your skin brand new. Get the coconut oil on your face, like, oh no, I got no wrinkles, look at me. This can make you brand new. You ever see the commercials, and they tell you that you need this, and when you have this, this will make your life brand new. Do you believe that you can be made brand new? Do you believe that maybe it's not a cream, but maybe something can help you be brand new? My name is Keith Arkham. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we are at the end of our study in The Chosen. We've been watching The Chosen. How many of you downloaded the app and watched it? A few of you. Okay, good. We've been doing the studies on a Wednesday. And in that app, in that show, it's been covering four main characters in the biblical story. Really good renditions of what might have, could have, probably happened in those episodes. And in the episodes, it covers four main characters and their interactions with Jesus and how different they are. First of all, we've got, Simon Peter, the leader of the disciples, and how he came on the scene. Then we've got Matthew, the tax collector, and how he was kind of hated by everybody, both the Romans and the Jewish. And we've got Mary Magdalene, who came from having seven demons to having a brand new life. And then, of course, we have Nicodemus, the priest, the Pharisee. I'm going to talk about him today. But each of these four characters, each of them had a different interaction with Jesus, and each of them felt worthy or unworthy of who Jesus was, felt worthy or unworthy of the kingdom of God coming to them. Of course, there was Mary Magdalene, who felt unworthy. Yeah, somebody said it. You guys are getting it. Yeah, she felt unworthy to receive the kingdom of God and indeed to be forgiven. She had the seven demons, and she transformed into something brand new. Then there was Matthew, the tax collector, who would have been brought up and thought that he was worthy. And then when he went to work for the Romans, he felt unworthy. Yeah. And then we had Simon Peter, who didn't think he was worthy in the beginning. And then he started doing things and hanging out with Jesus, and he thought he was in, kind of thing. And then he thought he was worthy. So he went from unworthy to worthy. And then we have Nicodemus. And above all of these four characters, we all know that Nicodemus felt worthy. Yeah, he felt worthy. Why did Nicodemus feel worthy? Well, Nicodemus was an Israelite. Nicodemus was a man who had grown up in Israel, and he'd been to all the schools and done everything that was expected of him as a good Jew and somebody whose life was inclined and angled towards proclaiming the kingdom of God, to bringing the kingdom of God to earth and the way he understood it. So he was a rabbi, a Israel's teacher. He was a person whose life was all about telling people about God. This rabbi would have been a good rabbi, and he would have told people about the law. In fact, his whole life, he would have known the agreements or the covenants that God had placed before his people. As a good Jew, he would know that there was three covenants before the one that they were looking towards now. There was the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant of Abraham, written in Genesis 17. Which said, I will make you a special people, and you'll have a homeland, and I'll be with you, and you'll be my communicators to all the land about who God is, about who I am. That was the first agreement. The second agreement was the Mosaic agreement, which is found in Exodus, which is the agreement that Moses sent out and said, if you be my people, you will know the Abrahamic covenant more if you obey my laws. So this Nicodemus was somebody who was obeying the laws and showing people how to follow the law. And then finally, we have the Davidic covenant, or the covenant that David gave, was in 2 Samuel. And in 2 Samuel, it says that I will be your people will be abiding with me under the reign of King David, who will be a king forever. So Nicodemus would have known this. He would have known this at the epicenter of all his life. And he would have communicated this to everybody that came to him. He would have known the Tanakh. He would have known the teachings. He would have known the writings. He would have known the prophets, what we call the Old Testament. He would have known all of those books really well, the 39 books that we have for our Old Testament. He would have also known the Mishnahs, the things that priests say and good rabbis have told, and the people that he followed. And he would have kept the 613 laws that they'd put together to say, this is how you live your life. So Nicodemus was a good Jew and a good Pharisee and a good teacher of the law. He knew what it meant to be an Israelite. And when this vagabond Jesus comes into the land, do you think that Nicodemus knew what he was talking about? Do you think that he felt privileged? Do you think that he felt worthy? Yes, he did. I know everything there isn't to need to know. This is my whole life. This is what I am being created for. And I know that God has called me to be the communicator of this Yahweh, this code, this covenant. In fact, all his life, he would have had his life inclined towards the new covenant, what we call the new covenant that God was going to give us. And we're going to read that together today. It's in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. There's a Bible in front of you. If you're here, if you're online, open another tab up and just Google Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. It's in the Old Testament. It's one of the major prophets. It's one of the major prophets. We're going to show it on the screen as well so you can read along, follow along. The day is coming, says the Lord. This is Jeremiah prophesying. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Not the old three that we just talked about. A new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them out of the land, out of the hand, brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I loved them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord, for everyone, from the least, think Mary Magdalene, to the greatest, think Nicodemus, everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me already, says the Lord, and I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. This is the covenant that Nicodemus was angling his life towards. His whole inclination of his life was for looking for the new covenant. His whole purpose in life was to find this new covenant. And then along comes Jesus. Along comes Jesus, this vagabond that's prophesying, that's causing trouble in the land. In The Chosen, Nicodemus is kind of working with the Romans, and the Roman official realizes that Jesus is causing a bit of trouble. And he goes to see Nicodemus and his wife and says to him, hey, what's going on with this Jesus guy? Because he's causing trouble. Have you heard of him? He's the healer and he's prophesying and stuff. Are we going to have trouble with him? Why don't you meet with him? So he kind of plants this thing. The Roman plants the idea in Nicodemus's heart. And Nicodemus is obviously interested at this prophet and this healer. And so he goes to the Red Quarter, disguised, didn't have his tassels out from his robes. And he goes to look for Mary Magdalene in the red quarter. And he meets and says, "That your hair, right? You're the one that was delivered from the seven demons. Your hair." And she says, "Yeah." He said, "Who did that?" And she says, "Jesus. Did you still follow him?" And she says, "Yeah." She says, "Could I get a meeting with him?" It's kind of ironic. He's now asking the woman who the seven demons he couldn't deliver out of. He says, "Could I get a meeting with Jesus?" And Mary goes off and tells Jesus and says, "Hey, that Rabbi Nicodemus wants to meet with you." So they arrange a meeting, and in the show, it's on a rooftop. And it's kind of an amazing scene. I think it's episode 7. And this is recorded for us in Scripture in John chapter 3. We're going to go there. So we're skipping around a little today in the text. We're going to go to John chapter 3, which is in the New Testament, the fourth gospel. And when you go there, we're going to go to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, we see where Nicodemus meets Jesus. Chapter 3 of John, verse 1 here. "There was a man named Nicodemus, as we know, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. 'Rabbi,' he said, 'we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you.'" So he goes to meet Jesus, and as he's on the rooftop, if you like, he affirms him. How hard would it have been for him to say, "Rabbi"? How hard would it have been for him to say, "You are a teacher of God"? I don't know whether he's placating him. I don't know what the intonation is there of the way he says that. But we have to assume that he is saying that, "I believe that you're from God and you are doing these healing miracles in the name of Yahweh, for whom I propone. I believe you're doing these things. I believe that you can't do these things by yourself." So that was kind of a big recognition for Nicodemus. It was kind of a big deal to say to this vagabond from Nazareth. And Jesus' response, even though Nicodemus is not even asking a question, even though Nicodemus didn't ask for something about the kingdom of God, I don't know, maybe it was his body language, maybe the fact he was there in the middle of the night asking the question. But Jesus' response is really interesting to what Nicodemus says to him. He just says, verse 3, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus didn't even ask him a question, but he must have noticed it. And he says to him, "You must be born again." What comes up in your head when you hear those two words, "born again"? What is it that triggers for you when you hear "born again"? Maybe it like separates you into a different group of people. Maybe it's a judgmental statement. Maybe you've experienced some things that people have said from a born again Christian. But what is that word "again"? What is that word "again" that Jesus, in the original Greek, it has three meanings. In the original Greek it says "anothen." "Anothen" has three meanings. That word, the first meaning of "anothen" is something radical, a beginning. Something radical, a beginning is the first translation of "anothen." The second one is literally "again" or "for a second time." And then the third understanding is to be from above, like from God. So "begin," "again," and "from above." Jesus says to him, "Yeah, you've been telling everybody about the kingdom of God. You've been telling everybody about what it means to follow the law. But you to experience me and to experience the kingdom of God, you must be what? Born again, radically, from above, second time." Nicodemus is confused. "Wait a minute, have I missed something? Have I missed out on something? All my life, I'm an old man. All my life I've been doing this. How can I be wrong after all this time? And this, you come along and say these things?" Jesus explains in verse 4. Nicodemus even says, what do you mean? How can this man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? He'd taken the second understanding of a nothing again. He's an old man. He knows that you don't go back into the mother's womb to be born again. But he's aghast. He doesn't understand what this weird Nazareth dude is saying. What is it that you're saying that means for me to go back in my mother's womb? Jesus says, verse 5, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Miraculously, God gives us the ability to create humans. Miraculously, we're allowed to mother and father children. But Jesus is not talking about this. He's talking about a birth from above. He's saying only the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, that he is communicating to him, can give birth to the Spirit. Only this change can happen when you meet the living God, when you hear of the kingdom of God anew and afresh. Nicodemus, you must be radically birthed. You must be changed in a new form. You must be born like it was a new day. That's how you must do to experience the kingdom of God afresh. In The Chosen, there's this beautiful, beautiful moment when he kind of realizes that Jesus is the Messiah. And he looks at him and he starts to cry, and he bends down and kisses his hand, which is the custom of the day. He bends down and kisses his hand, and Jesus picks him up off the floor and he grabs him and gives him a big hug. He gives him a big hug, and Nicodemus is crying and Jesus is crying, and there's no judgment, there's no sarcasm. I mean, if it was me, I'd be like, well, it's about time you got it. It's about time you understood this. I mean, you've been doing it for years. You know, Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus just hugs him in the show, hugs him and accepts him. And it kind of looks like Nicodemus follows Jesus. Jesus says to him, don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. He says to him in the show, he says, what do you hear? What is it that you hear? And he says, nothing. He says, oh, I hear the wind. He says, yeah, the wind. It comes and it blows. And you know it's the wind because you feel it and you hear it. And so it is with the Spirit. You feel it. You feel something change in you. In the last service, a woman came up to me and said to me, I feel God saying something to me, something new. I feel his Spirit urging me on to do something new. Would you pray for me? He says, I want to feel afresh again. I want to know that fresh wind of the Spirit. Nicodemus replies in the scripture and says, how can these things be possible? How are these things possible? A quick poll. Who believes this old priest, judgmental lawyer followed Jesus? Raise your hand. Not bad, not bad. Better than the last service. Who doesn't believe that Nicodemus followed Jesus? Oh, that's really interesting. Who's indifferent? Yeah, at the back. I'm kind of a romantic, and I kind of like to believe that Nicodemus followed Jesus. In Scripture, we don't know that. In Scripture, we don't know that Nicodemus followed Scripture. We don't know that he followed Jesus. We know that actually he was there at, when Jesus' body came off the cross with Joseph of Arimathea, also a Pharisee. We know that he went to the burial of Jesus when they put him in the tomb, and he brought 75 pounds of myrrh, the same stuff that the wise men, the magi, brought to his birth. I don't know. Maybe this signified a death to his old life and a symbol of the new life that he had following Jesus. And the question for us today is, do we believe old judgmental priests can follow Jesus? A couple of you. Do we believe that old judgmental men, judgmental for the law, for people to follow the law, that are stuck in their ways, that don't believe that Jesus can meet them in a different place, do we believe that these people can be made new? Good. So do I. I was lonely. I was lonely, looking for friendship, looking for some people that believed in me, looking for some people that believed that I was chosen, looking for some people that believed that I was called to something better, that I was a cherished human being, looking for some acceptance. I grew up, I was christened in a church of England church, and I was kind of churchy. My mother made sure I had a Bible. I kept the Bible, and I kept it under my pillow at night, and I cuddled it now and again, but I didn't really read it, you know. And then one night, I was in a small cabin. I was in the Navy at the time, in the Royal Navy, and it was in a small cabin. It was about twice the size and about 8 foot long. And I was looking for friendship, and I realized there was a Bible study not far from me. And I went to this Bible study, and here I found people my own age who cared about me, who told me that I was called, who told me that I was chosen, who told me that I was cherished. And I could see it in their lives. I could see the way they were interacting with me. They actually believed that about me. They were actually being the kingdom of God to me. And they drove me around. They took me around and to places and churches that I could go to. And they were that nice to me that one of the guys even let me smoke in his fancy car. One night, one of the guys was driving me back to this little cabin, to this base in the cold, dreary England. And halfway up the hill, we stopped. I said, because I said, I'm not feeling too good. I hadn't been drinking. I didn't feel like I'd been overtired. I hadn't done something that would make me feel this way. I just felt low and tired and miserable. We stopped on the hill, and my friend said to me, what's wrong with you? I said, I just don't feel so good. I feel like I'm missing something. I feel like there's something going on in my life. He says, well, why don't you say the Lord's Prayer? You know the Lord's Prayer, don't you? Go back in your room and say the Lord's Prayer tonight and be thankful for your blessings, thankful for what God has given you up to this very point. So that's what I did. I went back and I got on my knees. I knew something of the Scripture. I knew that like kneeling before God was probably a good idea. I was in a cabin by myself, and Nicky Gumbel sent these tracks around back then. This is before the internet, and he put these tracks on. I read this piece of information, and in the back there was a little part that said to pray this prayer. Thank you that you died on the cross. And then when we got to the Lord's Prayer, it says, ask God to forgive you some of your sins there. I spent some time asking God to forgive me. And then when it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, I asked God to forgive me for the way I'd been to some people. I went to that bed that night, and I woke up the next morning, I felt completely different. I have a new life. I couldn't explain it at the time. I didn't know what was going on in my life, but I think there was something new in my spirit. I felt different from my toes way up to my head. I felt completely transformed. I felt like I'd born anew or born again or received something from above. So much so that I went to see my friend and I called my other friend. And I said to him, hey, he wasn't really good for me. I called him and said, hey, we're probably not going to hang out anymore. Something's changed. I'm going to follow somebody else. I'm going to follow Jesus. And this low-life Liverpudlian who was amounting to nothing decided to follow Jesus. And it was the best decision I ever made, amen? Something happened. Something happened from above. Something changed in my life through people. My spirit changed. I was able to see God in a different light. I was able to see the kingdom of God through people, through the very word of God. And I could agree with Paul. Paul, who went around the Mediterranean, transforming the world for Jesus through and telling people, telling churches there how much God loves them. And I resonated with what Paul said to Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Here's what he said to him. He said to these people in Corinth, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Amen? I'll say it again. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Amen? The old life is gone and the new has begun. And the question for us today at the end of our series is, do we believe that this can happen to us? Do you believe that people like Nicodemus, people you don't agree with, people perhaps you don't like, can experience God anew? Do you believe that Nicodemus, the lawyer, the person who judged people all the time, can experience God anew? And do you believe low-life Liverpudlians amounting to nothing can also experience God anew? So do I. And today, I want you to know that. No matter what phase of life you're in today, I believe that you can experience the kingdom of God anew. I believe that you can have a rebirth. I believe that no matter what age you are, no matter what phase of life you're in, no matter what church you go to, whether it's here or whether it's online, that you can experience something brand new. You can experience the kingdom of God in a new way. And today is the day you can do that. Today is the day that you can experience the kingdom of God anew. Last week, we're going to ask you to text in a bit. And last week, I was talking to a guy who'd texted in. It was a couple of weeks back, in fact. And he texted in to say that he was following Jesus. And I called him and said, and by his own admission, he'd say he was old. And he said to me, I says, hey, how you doing? And he said, hey, Keith, I seen that you texted in and said you wanted to follow Jesus. And I know you've been following Jesus for a long time. And I realized you texted. And he says, yeah, well, Keith, every now and then, I need a refresh. I need a reboot. I need to experience the kingdom of God again. And I believe all of you can hear today. And we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. You now know that you are chosen. You now know that you are called to something better. You now know that you are cherished. Jesus actually likes you. And through this, you can be made new. Our kneelers are open for you to come down and pray. Pastor Kathy and I will be down here to pray with you. If you want us to pray with you, put your hands out like this. If you don't want us to, just turn them over. But I want to give you an opportunity to experience the same thing Nicodemus did. I want to give you an opportunity. It's an invitation for you to experience the kingdom of God in you like Nicodemus did. The rails are open, the kneelers are open, the steps are open. And maybe you just want to sit there and make your own personal private altar. That's fine. Let us know if you want to follow Jesus, if you want to do something different and experience the kingdom of God anew, and you're just going to text in and text follow to this number. I'm going to put a slide up for you. If you're sitting on your phone there, just text to this number, 353-LOVE, and text the word follow. We'll follow up with you and see what your next step is. But the kneelers are open for you to come and experience God anew. Come and experience Him anew, just like Nicodemus did. Amen. Let's pray together. As we pray together, the music will be in the background. There'll be places for you to worship, but also to pray. Lord God, we worship You today. We thank You. You are the God of new beginnings. We thank You, Lord God, as You work in our hearts now, as Your Spirit is present in our hearts, as You lead us to new places. May we experience You afresh. May we experience You as we kneel. May we experience You as You sit. May You show us afresh, anew, what it is You want us to know. We come to You today, Lord, asking for that. We come to You, Lord, begging that You would meet us in the place where we are. We ask this in Your holy and precious name.